So first and foremost, welcome to This Black Girl Podcast. I am one half of your host. My name is Lola. You can find me at ola.miss.lola on Instagram.
And I am your other lovely host. I am at The Hill Diva on IG. And you can refer to me as Miss Hill Diva.
And we have a wonderful guest today. His name is James. If you don't mind just sharing a little bit of yourself so that our guests know who you are.
I would describe myself as someone who is extremely online. I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I would say that the internet kind of raised me. I'm 26, sort of a younger millennial. And I guess kind of pertaining to this conversation, I'm someone who is in a long distance relationship with someone from Peru.
Oh, so. Wow. Okay, cool. Well, okay. Well, first of all, I want to get into the fact that you consider yourself on the end spectrum of like millennials. So like you're not necessarily Gen Z, but you understand where Gen Z came from because being on the tail end, you're like, so in social media, like, are you very super involved or are you just kind of like, I'm part of the regular social media world. And then like, you know, I take all my news information and source from online.
I kind of pick and choose basically what I want to engage with. I'm very unfamiliar, I guess you could say, or unsavvy with more modern stuff like TikTok or stuff like that. I don't have an Instagram. I don't have a TikTok. I have like a Facebook pretty much just to keep in touch with family members. And I have a Twitter for basically just finding funny content that I like to share with friends.
Okay.
So that's kind of the extent of my engagement with I guess you could say social media platforms.
Okay. And then in terms of I guess other online resources, like obviously you're on Reddit, do you use like other forums as well? Because I remember I used to be on, what was it called? It's shut down now, which is so sad. It was like a news forum. I forget what it's called. Anyways, forget it. It's not, definitely not BuzzFeed, but like one of those kind of news sites that had like news updated all the time. But are you like somebody like that goes to certain news sites, certain news pages, or certain YouTube videos to get like your daily news, your certain updates, things like that?
I find a lot of my stuff through Twitter.
Okay.
I would say that I don't really engage that much with like mainstream media, you could say. My dad, for example, is he's like a very old boomer. There's like a very big generational gap between me and him, and he kind of like sits in his chair and watches CNN, MSNBC all day. So I'm a little bit hesitant to engage with sort of these mainstream institutions that we sort of have.
All right, that's fair.
Seems so a little bit old-fashioned.
Yeah, so you kind of remind me of me because I am, well, before I actually have an IG now, like I go a lot on my IG. I love my IG, but I used to be so disconnected from a lot of the mainstream stuff. Like with Twitter, I'm not very familiar with Twitter a lot, but I do know I like it for the news. Like once in a while I'll get like news stuff. I'm more of like a YouTuber, I find, you know, I find that like, I don't watch TV, I don't watch, you know, sports as much anymore. It's more like what I want to see on YouTube. But I'm surprised, like one thing you said about considering yourself a millennial more, I'm surprised because I remember that's like on some kind of news outlet, they're saying that millennials were from like, the cutoff was like 1988. I think it was like 80s to like 88 or something like that. Or was it like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I remember me being the cutoff and I'm like, okay, so I am a millennial. Cause I was fighting with my boyfriend at the time about, you know, you're a millennial. Millennials think this, millennial thinks that. You're such a millennial. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Turns out I am. So the fact that you're bunching yourself in with millennials, I don't know if this is something we should be proud because you want to be one of us. But what do you find is like the biggest complaint against millennials, you know, from either Gen Z or from boomers? I know there's a lot of cliches out there. And what do you think is true?
I would say that probably the biggest complaint that I hear is that we're too earnest, actually. It seems like there's kind of an ironic detachment, I guess you could say, from Gen Z, for example. They don't seem to take things as seriously as millennials. I think there's sort of like this sense of righteousness maybe that millennials were raised with when they were kind of coming into their own, like politically, for example. I would say that I kind of fall more into like the Gen Z thought pattern in that sense. I'm like at the tail end. I've heard like you said like 1988. I've heard like 95 is the cutoff point, and I'm a 95 kid. So
okay. Well, my question for you is, because like you said, like you're not very super into social media. You essentially just have Facebook and that's it. So then how did you meet your girlfriend if she is long distance and all the way in Peru?
That is a funny story, actually. I basically started using like Tinder kind of off and on. I don't usually use dating apps like at all, but I decided to kind of just give it a try. And I found myself not really getting any matches basically locally. I don't know if it's like how I was marketing myself or whether I'm just like unappealing, I guess, to to the people that live near me, but I decided, you know, this, I'm gonna like try and experiment. So I bought Tinder Premium, which basically allows you to take your location and like drop it anywhere. I was like, okay, so I'm just for like context, I'm biracial. I'm half Mexican, half white American, basically. So I was like, let's see what maybe people south of the border think of me. So I decided sort of dropping my location in Mexico, in Colombia, in Peru, just to see what kind of interaction I'd get. And I got more interaction probably within the first week than I did within maybe like 3 months.
Oh, wow. I like that. Yeah. I like that. So, that's literally like, you could just choose what you want, flavor you want. Flavor of
yeah, milk. Yeah, exactly.
I'm dying because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, that's like location fishing. It's like your location fishing, because it's like, I'm in Mexico, and they're like, oh, you in Mexico? And I'm like, just kidding.
Annoying. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm in the Mexico mood.
yeah, exactly. So I was dropping my location everywhere, and eventually I decided to land on Peru for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I found one person that I talked to for a little bit, and then things were like really not working out very well with this person. And then I found someone else who is basically someone that I kind of like, I don't really like. We were both kind of going through like relationship problems at this time, pretty much. Me with this girl who I had basically just met like 2 weeks ago, pretty much. And her with a long-term boyfriend of 2 years who they were like actually almost about to get married. So she had like broken it off with him. And that's actually how we met, basically just complaining about our relationship problems to each other.
I'm just shocked that after 2 weeks that you're having relationship problems.
Yeah. It's an issue.
That's a whole red flag. Because I feel like after 2 weeks, like I don't know anybody and on any dating site or anything like that after 2 weeks. It's usually, because half the time I feel like when you're first talking to somebody online, it's like in between life. So it's like you pick up the phone. Oh, okay, I like this. You put it down, you do something else. And then you think about it a few hours later or maybe the next day and you pick it up and then you're like, oh, da 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 or whatever. So it's like to be like 2 weeks in with that type of kind of, I guess, limited conversation.
Yeah.
To have problems is wild. So
yeah,
wild.
Yeah. It's that should have been a red flag. This person that I was talking to, like we were never like officially like a couple or anything. It was sort of just like tentative. So
okay. And that's so like cool. So you were venting, you guys were both venting to each other about relationship problems. Like this girl's like, I don't want to marry this guy. sucks, and you're like, I want to talk to this girl, she sucks. And then you, when was the, I guess, the cusp or the light bulb went up to be like, we should date each other?
Well, we kind of like started flirting, I guess, like immediately that first night. We kind of stayed up like all night together, pretty much. Ooh, okay. And I had like developed, I guess you could say, like, what's the word for it? Like a litmus test almost, to sort of quickly determine whether or not like someone could be my long-term partner. And one of those things is I have like a very weird kind of offbeat sense of humor. So one of the things that I like exposed her to like almost immediately was probably like some of the weirdest and like raunchiest jokes that I could think of. And yeah. So she responded well to it. So I was like, okay. Yeah. This might have some promise.
Let me scare the crap out of her.
Yeah, basically.
She's the one.
Yeah.
So I like that. So you okay. take the very Sorry. Bold approach then in order to figure that out. So what's the raunchiest, boldest joke, if you don't mind? I gotta hear one of these.
I know what. We heard that she was sold. She was sold.
Right. It's less jokes, but more like stuff that I find to be funny. For example, there's this one travel vlogger that I follow now, who goes by the name of Cheap Charlie. You can look him up on YouTube. He's this guy who kind of like goes around to Mexico and Thailand, and he just kind of lives there. And he's like sort of this just like bizarre sort of weird guy, and like he has all tons of weird idiosyncrasies that are just kind of funny to laugh at. Like he thinks that that like he's a really good basketball player even though he's like 6'2", and like all of the men that he plays against are pretty much 5'6" and below.
That's funny. So. That's funny. I could picture him just being like,
oh. Yeah, and then just, he's got like this video on his channel where he talks about getting rejected by a girl like from having sex because his breath smelled bad.
Oh, no.
I feel that though. I would have been like, brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, can't you just interrupt and get it done? Like...
Straight I don't know, but I guess she told him enough was enough, and she was out of there.
Yikes. Okay, so you exposed her to different jokes. You guys obviously had a connection or bonding over, you know, issues from before. And so how long have you guys been together?
We've been together for over a year and a half at this point.
Oh, wow. Okay, so how have you managed to have such a long, positive relationship for so long over such a large amount of distance? Like, how have you managed, especially now with COVID and borders being restricted and things like that?
Yeah, that's actually something in and of itself that we can probably get into later. But I don't know. I guess it's just we like started off really strong in terms of creating those kind of bonds, I guess.
Okay.
That could sort of maintain through basically these long periods of because like right now she's kind of in a position where she can't talk much. For like disclosure, she's like a nurse.
And
Peru is like getting particularly hammered pretty hard by coronavirus. So, and they also have like this new president that they elected that kind of sent their market into a bit of a tailspin for a while. So it's been pretty rough.
Yeah.
Wow. But we kind of just established that foundation early. So we could kind of last through these long periods of not being able to talk much.
Yeah. Wow, so how do you handle that? Like, it definitely takes a very confident relationship and a strong relationship in order to last through that, because I know a lot of people that like trust issues alone would get in the way of, you know, a long distance relationship, never mind a long distance and, you know, very busy schedules as well. So how have you guys, like, what do you guys do? Is there any kind of particular rituals you guys have, like when you see each other, and like, how do you guys keep, you know, the bond strong, like throughout, you know, hard times like this?
Yeah.
Mostly we just make sure not to miss any of like the big things, basically. Like, there was a time I think like it was kind of a mess like around November of last year, I would say. Like it was starting to become a mess where we couldn't see each other nearly as often. And my birthday is in March, so
early March or late March?
Late March.
Hey, Aries, what up?
Yeah, yeah. So I was like almost confident that she was going to be too busy to like do anything for me on my birthday. So I was very pleasantly surprised when I received actually a fairly intricate gift. She's quite the little crafts person. She like makes these little pictures and like cutouts, I guess you could say. She like helps her little sister a lot with class assignments, and she kind of does use these little like craft works that
that's so yeah. cute.
Anyway, she's got like this whole journal and stuff that she like puts them in, and she said that she's gonna give it to me when I finally get to come and see her. So
that is so sweet. That is way too cute. I did have another question real quick, just on the basis of you being half Mexican and half Caucasian. I love it. Is it like your mom that's Mexican or your dad's Caucasian, or what is the real quick?
My dad is white. My mom is second generation Mexican American.
Right. So do you have like the Latino flavor in your house? Like,
do not at all. Like, I'm very far removed from any kind of Mexican culture. My mom's parents came over when they were toddlers, so there was a very large separation. She doesn't really have any of it. She knows like maybe a little Spanish. I grew up with like no Spanish, so.
Wow, I'm shocked. I'm so shocked. And both your mom's parents are Mexican too?
Yes.
Wow, oh my goodness. Because I just love it. I speak Spanish and all that. So that's why I'm like, oh, cool, you know, but. That's interesting, like how I know a lot of second generation, first generation don't want their kids to learn the language sometimes because of the hardships the parents went through in their respective countries. Like I do have a girlfriend who, a former girlfriend who was part Hispanic from Nicaragua, who the parents did not want their children to learn the language because they saw it as a symbol of the poverty and the struggles they went through. So she has like, I understand that story from that angle too, but really nice. So at least, you know.
No, I was just going to say, just based off of what you were saying, that's also based off of like a little bit of assimilation. I have cousins and stuff from the UK. When their parents came here, they like, and it's funny enough, they still have a very thick British accent. Like they haven't been able to drop it.
Oh, really?
But like, yeah, but all my younger cousins, when they were growing up, they had it like a little bit as a kid, and like they completely like revoked it because they didn't want it. They felt that like they were talking funny. They felt like they were standing out from everyone. And so they dropped the accent, I guess, growing up. And now that they're older, they can't pick it up anymore. So they feel really awkward and left out of, like, I guess, their culture, part of their culture. Mm-hmm. So, but I was going to ask, do you ever, because, like, you know, you didn't grow up with the culture as much and, you know, not understanding the language and stuff like that, have you ever felt maybe, I guess, disconnected from your culture or part of your culture, or wanting to connect to that part of your culture a little bit more?
I kind of like didn't really connect the dots, I guess, that I was like not white basically for quite a while. I remember very distinctly there is like a time when I was maybe 10 or so, and like I got like basically into a conversation with my mom about race for like the first time. Okay. I was like, I said something like, I said something about Mexicans, and she was like, you know, well, you're Mexican too. And I'm like, what? Even though she's like brown and standing right there. So
that's so funny. Well, I will admit, like, you're very white passing. Like, if you didn't tell me, I don't know if it's just camera quality or what it is, but like, you look white on screen. So
it's
like,
true. I was shocked.
I was gonna say, but I get that just because everybody can look millions of types of ways. Like if you saw my daughter and me, you'd be like, what? Yeah. Like, you'd be confused too. But that's actually really hilarious for her to break it to you and be like, well, you're a Mexican too. Yeah. And it was just like this whole mind blown moment.
How old were you when that happened?
Maybe somewhere between like 10 or 12. It was pretty late.
That's a long time. I was just gonna say, to not know you were fully like half Mexican, a full half of you. Mm-hmm. So do you find that you get treated ever like, you know, do people can tell, like she said, you are white passing. I was thinking the same thing. Does anyone ever think you're Mexican? Like, you're Mexican, and you're like,
if people like I've had people ask before, usually if we're talking about ethnicity, I get like South European, like Italian.
Yeah.
Sometimes Eastern European. Okay. And sometimes they do guess correctly and say like you're like definitely half. But
yeah,
usually I don't really get treated any different.
Okay. And I want to ask, just because I feel like the political climate is different in the United States, and people's associations are very different in the United States, especially with the former president that was in office before, had a very, almost like a very strong anti-Hispanic kind of like notion, kind of stance and whatnot. And there's a lot of people that stand for him. So it's just like, have you ever had an incident, whether it was like, I don't know, casually talking to somebody or even meeting somebody in general in public who assumed your ethnicity or found out about it and then kind of like tried to use it against you in any type of negative way?
No, like never. Like even online, where like there's I guess you could say less regulation or like there's more people are more free, I guess, to say exactly what's on their mind more right. online. Even then, it's more like banter really than anything. I've never had anyone like approach me about it in real life. We live in a very, or the place that I live in the country is very left-leaning. So there's really, I don't think, any kind of tolerance for that kind of stuff.
That's good. Well, that's awesome. Good to hear.
Well, thanks, didn't
I? I know. That's what I was just going to say. Like, you seem like you live in a really good area then. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I thought we were maybe getting a little shaky here. my other question. So I wanted to ask, because you have this extremely long distance relationship, how do you guys specifically, I guess, stay in touch, like aside from just maybe texting or regular phone calls? Like, is there video calls? You guys do video dates? Do you like ship care packages? Like, what, I guess, what are the tools that you guys use to keep the relationship like real, if that makes sense? Because a lot of people assume with movies away, it's not as real as in person.
Right. We use kind of a combination of WhatsApp and Facebook. Actually, I probably wouldn't have a Facebook if my girlfriend didn't have one. I usually am a pretty private person. I like to keep to myself. But WhatsApp is usually where we do most of our communication. When things were kind of, I don't want to say like more stable, because I like that kind of implies that there's, you know, instability. But when communication was more frequent, I guess you could say, we would do like video calls pretty much every night. So we kind of like see each other like before bed for maybe two or 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Good for you. Okay. I was going to ask really quickly. That's really interesting, the fact that you met her on Tinder. Now, is this the only dating site that you've ever been on, or is it like the one that you like better? And in terms of you being able to find a girlfriend, congrats, because I'm on these sites and it's a war out here, okay? It's not easy. I'm like, I heard a radio song today and it was like, Fergie's like, and big girls don't cry, I love you like a blanket. I'm like, I can't even find a guy that last long enough for me to cry when they leave, because I'm like running out of there left, right. So for you, what are the red flags for when you're dating, you know, that, for example, you said that you were able to find her because she has a good sense of humor. What's the flip side? What are the things that, you know, right away, you know, okay, this can't go on.
Yeah. Swipe left.
I've been fortunate enough to not really come across too many like red flags, I guess, like in like a practical sense. And like people that I actually approach, usually the people that I avoid are people who seem very I don't want to say like self-absorbed, but like I don't know, there's like a certain way that some people advertise themselves on like dating websites, especially sites like Tinder. I don't usually go for girls who you know, do like the stuff where they like stick their ass out in like photos or have like a bunch of tattoos or piercings. Not really into that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, since we're going into this lane, I have to ask you the one question I've been asking all of our guests. I guess you may have already kind of spoiled it, but what would you say is your most superficial, I guess, deal breaker or superficial preference when, choosing a partner or being interested in a woman? So like, for example, my preference is that if I'm dating somebody or attracted to somebody, like they have to be very tall. Mm-hmm. So what would yours then be?
Mine is probably what I just said, no tattoos or piercings.
Yeah. So, okay. So if a girl has like a full arm sleeve.
And,
like,
oh yeah. It's a big no.
Okay, interesting.
And what kind of piercings? Like eyebrow, like what kind of, any piercings at all, are you saying?
Pretty much anything that's not ears.
Okay, so they can have earrings.
Yeah.
But they can't have a nose ring.
Yeah, no nose ring. No nose ring, no eyebrow.
But what if they have like multiple ear piercings? So like,
yeah.
That's like, probably okay.
So just literally just keep it to the ears.
I'm shocked because I feel like everybody's got tattoos now. I literally have zero tattoos. I feel like I'm the only one. Maybe you too, Lola. Do you have any?
I do.
What the hell? I thought we were friends.
Surprise! It's just I don't show mine off. I don't show mine off often, so that's why.
I probably already know about them. We'll show after, but I have zero, and I actually wanted to get a funny tattoo. Mm-hmm. And this is so inappropriate. So I hope my mom's not watching. But I would get a funny, ironic tattoo, literally in the lip of my vagina, in Chinese character that says, like, you know, only the brave enter and only like the strong get out. Like, make it out.
Girl, you're asking to hurt yourself. Do you know how painful that would be?
I wouldn't do it.
But you better not.
So this is like fear. This is like strictly a thought experiment.
Exactly. Only thoughts, no practice. Okay. But I just think it would be the most hilarious tattoo ever. And like, and then I would go to like, and then I'd only date Asian guys during that time just to, for them to be like, ah! Or whatever. So I'm the only who can read it at least. But anyways.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay, I would say that I live kind of a uncommonly, I guess, conservative lifestyle. In that I'm like 26, I've never smoked, I've never drank.
Okay.
What?
So.
And that's just a personal preference, right?
Yeah, it's a personal preference. Okay. I'm not religious.
Okay.
Your I have like a childlike palate. I don't I like soda and energy drinks. Stuff that tastes good.
Makes sense. But it's funny. I find it hilarious cuz I like energy drinks. Well, particular ones, not every single one. But I like some energy drinks and my boyfriend hates them. He will rather drink like 3 shots of gin before drinking like a shot of an energy drink. So the fact that you're just like, my palate is not refined, I don't like this, and then he's just like, my palate's not refined, I don't like this. So it's like two sides of the same coin.
That's so funny.
Okay, so you like and you're happy with living a conservative lifestyle. You have no interest in smoking, you have no interest in drinking. Does your girlfriend share these same values?
For the most part, she does. She's not like a party person either. She'd like to be home, like reading a book. She doesn't drink, she doesn't smoke. She'd probably have a problem with it if I did. So
you really found like your perfect match. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah.
My God, I feel bad talking about my vagina now. I'm like, this is so wholesome. Soda and energy drinks. Like, Jesus. I feel horrible.
Oh my God.
It's okay. I told you that I was basically raised by the internet, so I've seen and heard way worse things. I've been like in and around like, you know, the 4chan area. I listened to like one of your previous podcasts. I think it was with you and your, is it boyfriend or husband? The Mister?
Boyfriend.
Yeah, and he said that he had been through some stage of 4chan as well. That stage is current, I guess, for me.
Okay.
So what's 4chan for us who don't know? Because I've heard of it, I just don't remember what it is.
Oh, it's an image board website where basically you can go and go to different boards and talk about different topics. Basically, the boards are like organized by topics, and sort of the gimmick is that everyone's anonymous, and basically every thread gets deleted at some point. So it's usually pretty quick moving, very temporary.
It's kind of like Reddit. It's a less stable Reddit before Reddit.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So they must say some out-of-pocket stuff, because especially if they know the stuff's getting deleted, people are saying any and everything on there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah. Hot mess over there.
I might have to click on there. I might have to do my research.
Don't do it. I'm gonna say don't do it.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, so yeah, he used to troll those web pages. He's grown out of it now. And I don't know. He does his own weirdo shit. So I want to ask now, with all of this like location hopping and meeting different people and, you know, having relationship issues after 2 weeks and stuff like that, and when you're kind of vetting your current girlfriend right now, what was, aside from the joking and stuff, like what was the deciding factor that you're like, she's worth it? Like, I want this girl to be my girlfriend. I'm going to work it out despite the distance. We're going to make this work. Like, and is your end goal with this person, like, is it marriage? Do you plan on moving to Peru? Does she plan on coming to the States? Like, is this a 90-day fiance situation preview?
A lot of my friends have wanted me, have urged me actually to go on that show.
If you go,
it's one of our favorites.
Download Discovery Plus right now.
we might have to do that. Although I'm aware that the producers might do one or two things to kind of meddle in the relationship. So I'm not
right.
Of course, that's what they do.
I'm not too hyped if that were like my only way to get her across the border. But
I mean, that's fair. Well, there's obviously a million other ways, but you know, people want to document their love or whatever for any other self-serving purposes.
Yeah.
Usually internet clout, usually, you know, to be on Cameo now or
Anyway, back to the question. The thing that kind of alerted me, I guess, to wanting her to be my girlfriend was that basically it's just that she's stable. There's nothing that's like a red flag that's wrong with her. I had kind of previously come to this kind of realization, I guess, about relationships. I think that has kind of served me well, and this is kind of like a guy thing. I think, and guys, I think especially guys my age or younger, have kind of this preoccupation with basically wanting to date like the female version of themselves, and that is not something that I think is a good idea.
Okay.
Because basically what you're doing in that case is you're like sharing kind of all of your spaces with this person, and you like you never get a break. And as much as you like might love someone, you know, you need like a break and kind of like your own spaces. I think anyway.
Interesting.
I was gonna say I've never heard that concept before of men wanting to date somebody like themselves. it can make, like, it makes sense just because, you know, usually that's the foundation for people to get along if they like the same things, enjoy the same foods, enjoy, like, whatever. But I don't know, I guess for myself, I've always believed that despite having certain things that you have in common with people, you still have your space to do your own thing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about matching temperaments, in my opinion, than it is about sort of like interests that you kind of consume. Because like in that sense, we're completely different, because like I like these like goofy travel vlogs like I told you about. I like reality TV shows, and she likes, you know, she likes Marvel movies. She likes, like K-pop, just stuff that I would never have any interest in. So we're kind of like in our own separate sort of spheres, but everyone still knows together. Yeah.
Well, is there at least a topic or an interest that overlaps?
Actually, the reality TV show one probably is the one that does.
Okay.
So she's like, yes, honey, take me out of Peru. Beyonce, yes, now.
Yeah.
Now, would you bring her to the U.S.?
That's kind of the tricky part. We're like, before I met her, her plan was like, she, like I said, she's a nurse and she's currently in school right now. Her plan is to become what's the word for geriatric specialist. Her plan was to become a geriatric specialist and move to a country that has like a high aging population, like Italy or Japan, basically. And she'd have plenty of work if she moved there, basically, after completing school. So that's kind of what we're leaning towards. I'm not someone who's basically like married to the United States or like married to the idea of living here. So that's something that I would definitely think about doing or be willing to do.
I think that's really cool if you both can just kind of like converge on and meet at a different country kind of start, you know, start together brand new, whatever it may be. Because like, especially nowadays with just everything in terms of work-wise becoming a lot more remote, and a lot of companies are like, you know what, we don't have to pay for our super large office space, people can just work from home and get the job done, like I'm here for it. And so it could definitely be possible if, like, let's say she does decide to move to like Italy, for example. You guys move to Italy together, you could still technically work remote for the United States, so you're getting the stronger dollar versus an Italian dollar. And you know, you guys can live decent, make money, have fun, be together, finally, like in the same space rather than on WhatsApp. Is there anything that maybe you have a concern from when that step happens? Like, cause we're future talking. We don't know if that's gonna be next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, but like, is there something, I guess, that would concern you about that next step?
Obviously, I think is the immediate step, the travel step, is probably one of the biggest things that gives me anxiety. Just because of, like I told you about, I don't know if we recorded that part about the, I have a inflammatory bowel disease.
Yes.
That's the one thing that would make me sort of balk at the travel aspect of it. And then I think the next part is basically just culture shock. I don't necessarily know like the logistics of maybe having to learn both Spanish, like to communicate better with her, and this other foreign language for the place that we're moving. I don't think that's something that I mentioned before, is that she is a Spanish speaker and we like basically have to translate like a lot of our messages back and forth.
Okay. Wow. So are you, obviously you're intending to learn Spanish, and is she attempting to learn English as well?
Yeah, as part of her occupational training, she'll be learning it in school.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, at least you have like a fast track to, you know, a direct track to communication, you know, that's that's really good. I was gonna ask you really quickly if you've had any moments of where a concept gets lost in translation. Because I've taken Spanish and I speak a couple languages. I know it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's funny enough, it's happened to me. I have a funny story. So I'd love to hear yours if you have one.
There are certain phrases, I guess, that you don't necessarily need to stay away from, but that will not translate well over like Google Translate. Mm-hmm. I've had her basically just say several times, like, what is this? I don't know what this means. because I'll kind of like absentmindedly like say some kind of, you know, American like sort of figure of speech or something, and she won't know what it means because she doesn't have it there. But we've never had anything where it's like she gets really mad at me for some kind of understanding or for some kind of misunderstanding or anything. I frequently get worried about that, but it's never happened yet.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, I strongly recommend Duolingo. Just like the little app, 5 minutes every day. One day you're just gonna start having a conversation with her in Spanish and she'll be like,
And I strongly recommend YouTube. There's a lot of good YouTube teachers. Like, I literally learned Mandarin in a few years on there, and really? I did an app as well. But my funny lost in translation story, because I was learning Mandarin, right? And I was going on dating apps. And so whenever a guy popped up who happened to be Chinese, and the particular one I was on, it also listed the languages you speak. So one guy was like, oh, I speak Mandarin, right? I'm like, oh, cool. I looked at all his photos and they were so professional that I realized this is a catfish. Okay, because every Asian guy on this website was like 6'5". All of them were Yao Ming, okay? 6'5". Professional photos, you know, wearing their sunglasses. I'm like, every single Asian guy 6'5 on here. I'm like, there's no way. Where are my regular people? Like, I want a normal guy, you know? Anyway, so I said to him, hey, can we video chat? You look like a catfish, right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes, you're black like a leather. And I was like, what? And then the guy blocked me. And I was like, oh my God. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this guy doesn't understand the expression catfishing. Because he's in freaking China, mainland. And he thought I literally said, you look like a friggin' fish with whiskers. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't even trying to insult the guy. I was trying to say, you look too good to be true, right?
That's pretty funny.
It was hilarious. I my sister was like, you should have screenshotted that. That would have been a good meme. I'm like, so true. But it's of
incredible.
Course,
see
that. It was too late.
So funny. Oh my gosh. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
I was wondering if you guys had seen like the, I forget if it was the last season or the season before of 90 Day Fiance, where there's this woman who had like a catfish situation throughout the entire season.
Oh, no,
she was like she called him like the Williams or something. I was gonna say you, got, you had the Williams situation.
Oh my God. And I felt bad. It was this woman who thought she was marrying this guy from, like, I think it was the UK or something.
Yes, yes.
And like his pictures again was like yours, like super professional,
very professionally fine, done. Yeah.
The finest guy. He was so fine. Okay, he could never meet with her. She bought him a ticket, flew him out because on 98 Day Fiance, and calling with excuses like, I can't come, love, this and this happened, like, never, up to this day. Did they ever show on the tell-all if it was, like, it actually a cat, like, what he actually looked like, or if he was an actual catfish?
I don't remember if I saw the tell-all, but he was definitely a catfish.
Like, super catfish, and I felt so bad because she was so delusional.
Yeah.
Her daughters
and,
were like,
yeah, her daughter was trying to talk her out of it the whole time.
Not real, like, don't go. And she's like, you'll see, he wants me, and da da da. And I'm just like, man.
Oh my God. She had sent him all these nude pictures too. And I was like, oh no.
It was bad. It was really bad. Like, there was that, and then my favorite catfishy moment was what's his name? I think it's Syed and Nicole, but it was like not last season, but maybe like a season or two ago, where she went to like Tanzania to be with him, and apparently she had used photos of her when she was like a bit like when she was a bit lighter, and now she was much heavier after having a child and all of this stuff.
Nicole, she did that. Yes. I remember that episode. I didn't know that's what she did.
Like catfishy pictures. So he was like, yeah, whatever, whatever, and then she showed up. And he was like, oof, like you could tell on his face he was like he was checked out.
Oh no.
And but then what he didn't know was like she was crazy, so she was just like with him all the time. If she wasn't with him, she's like going crazy. She would send him money. I'm pretty sure he just scammed her, like, because she would constantly be sending him money when she doesn't have money and she has like a four-year-old kid to take care of. And like, I don't know, apparently he was married and had like a whole such a mess.
I remember that. So my question to you, Mr. Jim, kind of referring to her story, sorry, got a little frog in my throat. But my question is, so let's say you meet Mrs. Peru, and I don't know if this is like a would you rather, and she's like really old, or like she's really young or something like that. Like, what would be the deal breaker for you if you meet her in person?
And oh, jeez. Oh man, I'm having like a hard time. I think it would probably have to be like the really old.
What if she had like a full sleeve of tattoos that you never saw because she knows?
Oh man, that would be hard. That would be really hard. I think I would have to. I would have to at that point because we've been through like way too much to just sort of have it be ruined by that.
Just be like, just buy her some makeup so she can cover it up. You
know? Maybe it's Maybelline.
Right? Oh my gosh. Well, okay, we're almost at the end of time. So I'm going to wrap this up with just saying, like, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate having your thoughts, your opinions. Thank you for sharing with us about your relationship. I really hope that you guys do get to reunite and be together. We'll hopefully be able to do an update episode. Maybe y'all will be together in Italy and be like,
bonjour. Yeah, we can do the tell-all. We can do the
tell-all. Yes.
Yeah, do a little tell-all of our own.
Yeah, so you have to tell us first. If you guys end up going on 90 Day Fiancé, we gotta know.
Yeah, tell us first. We will keep the NDA.
Okay, you guys can be my insiders.
I will keep the NDA strong for you, okay? If anything, I'll just be known as a source.
A source? A source sense. I love it.
But thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
And if you want to see James connecting with us again, you don't have a choice because he will. But if you do, just let us know in the comments. We always appreciate the feedback. If you have any questions for him that you'd want to include in possibly a later episode, let us know as well. You can always connect with us on Instagram at This Black Girl Podcast, or you can email us at thisblackgirlpodcast@gmail.com. So again, I've been one of your hosts. My name is Lola, aka Ola.miss.lola on Instagram.
And I am at TheHillDiva on Instagram, also known as HillDiva. And thank you so much again to our wonderful guests for joining us, James. Like, we definitely would love to have you again. And when, she comes to the States, whether you go there, we still want the pictures of y'all when you finally meet together, even if it's not a 90 day.
I'll be sure to send them.
I'm excited. Right. I'm waiting.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.